All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, July 25th, 2016. What's going on? How
are you?
What's going on? The final Monday in July of 2016, and old Freckles, old Billy Redbeard, old fucking Billy Fatface, fucking trying to get the weight off, okay? I'm trying to get the weight off, working out during the day, eating great, having a beer at night, fucking losing everything that he worked for. It's fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous what one beer does. And I got to do it. I got a bunch of beers left over from the fucking 4th of July. They're taking up all this space in my fridge, and I'm not going to throw them out. I mean, there's children that work in the Budweiser factory that fucking, you know, they sleep on piles of hay, right? They pay them 29 cents a month. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it's hops. I don't know what they sleep on. No, there's no people. There's no children. There's no children working at Budweiser. Peyton Manning wouldn't invest in Budweiser. If there was children there, I'm just going to go get me a couple of Budweisers. We had protection issues. My wife's on steroids. Wasn't me. She blew out her shoulder making s'mores. So she had human growth hormone. That's all I'm going to say about that before I put my balls on somebody's head. I'm sorry. Believe it or not, I'm in a great mood. So I got these fucking, I got all these beers in my fridge. What the fuck am I supposed to do with them? I can't throw them out. I got Boddingtons. I got some Millers. So I just have like one a night, right? And then I have a home pour of fucking whiskey. And that's all she wrote. That's all she wrote. I barely even get buzzed off of that too. And I wake up the next day and I just feel like shit. I don't know why I keep doing it. It's a habit I have to break. I am a one and a half drink alcoholic. I have to have one and a half drinks and get a little buzzed every night. I want to go to a fucking AA meeting and say, like, that's my problem. You know, I'll never forget when I started going off the rails when I'd have one Miller Lite tall in a can, and then I'd have a home pour of whiskey. And, of course, after I finished that, I would just stop and I'd go to sleep. And the next day I'd wake up and I'd be totally functional and I'd go to work. But I'd definitely be a little grouchy. And that's my story.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
Next guy comes up. My uncle raped me with a 12-pack when I was 5. Right? They throw me out of there. They'd be walking up, put down them donuts. I don't know why they all have Southern accents. In my world, everyone in AA is from the South. You know why? They never got over the war. They're still fighting it down there. South's going to rise again and do what? You're going to secede from the Union. You're going to get old Stonewall Jackson Jr. to come back and take over for you. You know what I say to that? I say good luck. I say good fucking, you know, do it. Just know this, you can't have Florida. And if you can't have Florida and you can't go to California, where are you going to take your kids? Huh? When they say, they're fucking sitting there watching your Confederate TV, right? And it's a small world comes on. which is even more apropos, whatever the fuck you say it, because you just like nine fucking states down there, whatever the hell you are, right? It's a small world after all. And they're like, what do they call fathers down in, what do they call? Been at your gym, Dad. I want to go to Disney World. You can't because you seceded from the Union. You can't go to Disney's land and you can't go to his fucking world. You know where you can go? Talladega. You can go see the Winston Cup Series, huh? They got a water slide out there? I don't think they do. They got a bunch of adults skipping around in fucking outfits that scare children. They do not. So let me tell you something fucking there, Mason Dixon. Mason and Dixon. Why don't you think twice? Think about everything you're going to lose out on if you seceded from the Union. Huh? No more Disneyland. No more Disney World. SeaWorld's down there. You don't get to see those fucking fish that don't want to be there. You know? A lot of people think like fish, like don't give a fuck that they're in a tank. You know? Just because they don't have an ability to speak to us, that therefore that means they're fine with it. We treat fish like immigrants. You know? The fish is fucking looking at you. You just like, speak English. You got a problem with that tank? Spit it out. Fucking sit there staring at me with your eyes on the side of your fucking scaly head. Just be happy I didn't eat you. You look at me one more time, I'll cut your fucking head off. I'll roll you in some flour with an egg wash. And I'll deep fry you, motherfucker. And I'll make your friends watch. Sit there and fucking stare at me. Like I work for you. I don't work for you. Who here's in the tank? That's right. I didn't think so. I didn't think so. Anyways, Bill, why are you so off the fucking walls today? You know why? Because we wrapped at least the script writing part of season two of F is for Family, which means I get to go back to being a fucking 14-year-old who has no fucking job, no responsibilities, no nothing. Just a bunch of beers in my fridge that I'm slowly going to kill. I do the elliptical in the morning, and then I give it all back with a can of beer. And that's what I do, right? While I fucking wear out my joints. That's all I'm really doing right now. I'm just maintaining. Isn't that what a lot of people in this digital age are just trying to do? Aren't they just trying to maintain? Just trying to keep their heads above water in this time of change and robots? Is the election, has that happened yet? Jesus fucking, you can't go near the goddamn TV. Everybody's so fucking scared. And what's going to happen? Nothing. It's going to continue on the way it's supposed to go. And whether the fucking comb over or the clam gets in the house, it's going to go in the direction that the money wants it to go into. And if it doesn't, okay, they're going to Dallas. Right? And they're not going to be in a Tesla. They're going to fucking roll out that 63 fucking stretch Lincoln convertible. That's right. They're going to get the old right there, Fred, to their fucking... Jesus Christ, the two of them. You know what I mean? Their heads, you know what? If I was in Secret Service, there would be a head size that you could not be above, you know? Or else the president would have to sign a waiver. Just like, you know, both of them. Hillary and fucking and Trump, they have like if you could make sliders out of Ted Kennedy's head. That's what the fuck they have. That is the most amazing thing about Ted Kennedy. He had the biggest fucking head out of all of them, and nobody ever took him out. You know, you would think that fucking guy out of all of them, they all had big squashes, right? You know, it's all good-looking men do, right? You got to have a big head, big stupid head with the square jaw. That look in your eye like everything's going to be okay. The kind of thing that make women go, oh, he can pay for all my stuff. Right? One of those heads. Well, what's his face? Ted Kennedy was ahead of his time. No pun intended. Right? If you wanted to know how fat people were going to get,
if you want to know how big sodas we're going to get, if you want to know how fucking ridiculous, you know, McMansions and all this shit and all the stuff that we were going to buy in the age of consumerism, right? If you were back in the 1950s trying to guess, you had to wager, which way is it going to go? Are we going to go back to living on dirt floors and log cabins? Or are we going to have kegerators and fucking chocolate fountains in our houses? All you had to do is look at Ted Kennedy's head and be like, there it is. That right there, that's an omen. You know, another interesting thing about Ted Kennedy's head, it was in his entire time he was alive, it was never backlit, ever. People tried. There just was never enough light, you know? There's not even a picture of him, like, blocking out the fucking, like, not even the sun could reach around either side. It just became night when he walked outside. Hey, I'm saying he had a big head, you know? I got a big head. I got a big head. I do. Literally and figuratively. I got a giant head. I got a fucking ego and a half because I got the whole week off. And what am I going to do? I'm going to rest up, getting ready for my European tour. Like the red fucking headed whore that I am. And I'm going to fucking, Tuesday night, I'm going to be at the Steve Allen Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. The Boulevard of Dreams. I'm going to be there and just basically saying my shit. So, you know, all you need to do is just fucking say it a few times, right? Just mutter it to myself. Walk around the block, talk to myself, hands in my pocket. Vigorously scratching the side of my ball sack, right? Having the cops come by, having them pull over. Asking me what I'm doing. Do I live around here? Are you a vagrant? Sorry. Did you guys see Rudy Giuliani's speech about the policeman? That was one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen in my life. The way he was trying to get that crowd going, you know? They come to your house! They didn't have to be there! They'll take a bullet for you! Right? I wanted him to keep going. You know? He just basically described police officers' jobs, but I wanted him to keep going, and I wanted him to betray how wealthy he is and the influential friends that he has. You know? They come to your house! They say you're under arrest, but you have your lawyer meet him in the driveway, and they say Rudy will turn himself in 3 days! And they all leave! And the charges go away. I wanted him to go that far. Because here's the deal. You know, the way the police are being painted right now is fucking ridiculous. It's the same way, you know, if one comic sucks, then every fucking comic out there has a lampshade on their fucking head. You know what I mean? There's definitely some terrible people that are police officers, but that doesn't mean that they're all bad. Okay? Now, Rudy Giuliani, you can't fucking stand there where you exist in society with your skin color and think that you can accurately describe police officers. You know, you need somebody a little more mid-range. Well, maybe it's good that he said that. Okay, now we got the high end, right? Black people fucking said their end. And then you just need somebody in the middle. Nah, you still can't do it. You still can't do it because of racism. You got to try to balance the whole fucking thing out. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, you think, you know what would be great with the fucking cell phone cameras and then the cops film themselves. What would be great is if somebody fucked up as a cop, if they actually got fired, if they actually fucking were punished and went to jail, if they actually murdered somebody, not like, you know, one or two or three people, if they actually just started doing that, I don't know. I don't know if there's any fucking solution to it. You know what I mean? It's a hell of a fucking job to have. Well, you got to walk up to a fucking car not knowing if you're going to get shot or not. That would make me a little edgy. You know what I mean? I think a lot of cunts can sit in their fucking living room when they're perfectly safe being like, oh, you know what I would do? This is what I would have done, right? Like when you watch your fucking quarterback throw an interception and then you say, I would have dumped it off to the tight end. Oh, is that what that's what you would have done on your fucking couch? I think it's an impossible job, and I also think that there's an element to that job that fucking sadistic psychopaths are attracted to. Bouncers and all those things. There's a lot of people that just want to beat the shit out of people that go for that job. Then there's other ones that go there, they have their heart in the right fucking place, you know, but they don't really make the news. You know what I mean? It's kind of like comics. Like every night we tell jokes, nobody gets offended. And then one cunt gets fucking offended. And then all of a sudden, is that what it's like, Bill? somebody unarmed getting murdered is like somebody getting in trouble for a Caitlyn Jenner joke. Gee, Bill, thanks for fucking explaining that one. Ah, fuck you. It's my podcast. Okay? I choose not to read. I choose not to be informed. That's my choice. Okay? I'm like one of those feminists. You know, when they fucking start yelling about that, don't tell me what to do with my body. Right? Don't tell me what to do with my podcast. All right? No more podcast shaming. Oh, shit. I had the fucking greatest set I've had in fucking months Saturday night at the Comedy Store in the main room. There was this chunk of material I've been trying to work out. I finally said it in the right way. And then I came home. I was so confident of it. I played it for my wife, and even she laughed. And that's the deal. When you try something new, this is the litmus test. And I don't even know what the fuck that means. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Litmus? Latmus? Modal? Right? My fucking test is I then play it for the lovely Nia. And if she fucking laughs, you can make your fucking wife get behind the new shit that you're doing. Then you know you're onto something, you know, because in general, what they do when they first meet you, they're like, oh my God, you're amazing. Ah, and they just fucking pump you up, right? So you start going like, wow, she's really cool, man, right? And then once they get you, once you're fucking in the relationship, once you give them the ring and you get married, then they fucking just grab the reins and start yanking back. Whoa, Nelly, whoa! Right? They start yanking the fuck back. Not because they're jerks. It's just out of fear. He's going to do something new. He's going to find something new. He's going to find somebody new. That's what they do. Unlike guys. Everybody knows that men are totally secure with who they are. I'm just doing this right now for any guy who's listening to this podcast next to a woman, just to listen to her going, oh my God, how can you listen to this guy? He's such an idiot. Let me tell you something, lady. All right? And don't look at him right now because he's not saying this. I'm talking to you, sweetheart in the background, shaking your fucking head at your man who's going to die before you. Let him have his laughs. Okay? What you feel right fucking now is what a man feels when he comes home and you're watching those Botox squawking fucking whores. Okay, doing the recap of their fucking season with that Andy Cohen or whatever his name is. That fucking genius. He's like the gay Byron Allen, you know, where they just found a show where there was no show. Everybody was like, there's no show here. And the genius of that guy to be like, yes, there is. It's not enough that you got a bunch of screaming whores yelling at each other that someone's going to sit down and watch it every fucking night. The fact that he then does the recap and just sits there. You don't have to write anything new. They do it for you. He just sits there and effortlessly hosts the show. He's a master. He just sits there and he has this fucking set list like a comic, but all it is to get these women yelling at each other. And he just watch the brilliance of that man. He just fucking sits there. And if it's fucking simmering, he turns up the heat, you know? You know, in episode 4, Kathy, she said she had some choice words in the moment. That's all he has to say. Oh my God, when she called me a fucking cunt. And then she goes, and he just fucking lays back like Ali, right? And when he was fighting George Foreman, he just lets these women start fucking punching each other out and they run off set and he sits there. And this is the brilliance of this man, is he sits there and he actually has a look on his face like he truly gives a fuck. Like he actually gives a shit about these people. He's just sitting here going, that's great TV. There we go. That just sold some toothpaste. And he's just fucking raking it in. Look at the guy. He looks like $1 million. A lot of people don't know this about that man. He's 83 fucking years old. You know, everybody talking about Dick Clark, how great he looked right to the fucking end. Yeah, well, close to the end. That I should have said that. But fucking, you know, whatever. We all go out like that, right? But he's fucking 83. A lot of people don't know that. You'd think the guy was like, you know, like whatever. What, 37? I have no fucking idea. There's got to be people hosting real shit that's fucking difficult going, why the fuck didn't I just do that? What he is he's doing a sophisticated Jerry Springer. You know, everybody's sitting down. There's no punches thrown. They scream and yell. They cross their legs. This is one thing I'll say about the Real Housewives. Their fucking legs are incredible. It's fucking amazing. Their legs are like fucking 22-year-olds. Their fucking faces. Woo! You know? Jesus Christ. And I got a lot of fucking nerve saying this, considering the way I look. Considering the way I travel the world. Looking like an albino, balding hellboy. Minus the working out, right? I look like the thing if it was skinny and didn't have that skin disease. You know what I mean? But yet could not go out in the sun. That's what I am. I'm a middleweight thing minus whatever. What's it made out of? Come on. Come on, Comic Cons. You know what he's made out of. You know how he turned into that. Was it another accident in a lab? Huh? Did he come here from another planet and then get bit by a spider and then got blinded by some shit? Now he's a fast ant living in somebody's fucking head, you know, driving a jet ski down to Middle Earth. Jesus Christ, just when you fucking think that the Real Housewives is the dumbest fucking thing you're ever going to watch, they come out with another stupid fucking superhero movie. Jesus fucking Christ. Can somebody collectively get these nerds some hookers? You know, why don't they go? What do the kids go on nowadays? What is that? What is that fucking, you know, it's one of those apps, whatever the fuck it is. It's not, is it Tinder? One of them is like the hoary one. And then the other one's like, oh, you know, I like this kind of food and I like to have three children. You know, the douche app. And then you got the other one. It's just like, you know. Hey, you know, I got some booze, you know, I got a ding-a-ling. I want to stick it in your fucking, keyhole there, whatever it is. That's fucking amazing. God bless this generation. You know what I mean? That's fucking great. They have that, you know, it's weird. Every year, like life becomes easier. You have to think less, but it gets more expensive. It's fucking nuts. You know what I mean? I can tell you right now, if there was fucking free porn and there was these dating sites, you know how much easier your fucking life would have been when you were a kid? Just not having to fucking, oh God, Jesus, I remember having to go out to those stupid fucking, you just going out to these fucking clubs. You know, I was going out there in the fucking late 80s. Walking into a nightclub, bump, 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 bow, don't, 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 bow. That girl is poison. And everybody with their fucking puffy ass pants walking around wearing driving gloves inside. Fucking music loud as shit, you know? Now you can sit there in your fucking underwear just scrolling through people like you're a fucking rock star on, you know? Like whenever you hear that shit, like how the roadies would go out and pick the fucking women that the band was going to fuck. And they'd be like, yeah, you, but your friend's got to stay. And then the fucking friend would leave. And she'd be like, Marcy, how could you leave me? And she just fucking walks away just for one night to fuck the guy, some guy from Deep Purple, right? And then years later, the two of them meet, you know? At a high school reunion. And then the fucking one that left the other one, left Marcy behind, is all fucking nervous that Marcy's going to let her now husband know that she fucked, you know, the maracas player. The maracas player from Deep Purple. He wasn't even a full member. They just had him on for that one fucking song because Santana scared the fuck out of him. They thought that was the direction the music was going to go. Then once they realized that mainstream music was only going to accept one Santana, right? And there wasn't going to be another fucking type of Santantello's guys. Bambalea, bambalea. And then there was Ricky Martin. Right? Then years fucking later, they're at the fucking the high school reunion. And she's just fucking with her eyes. She's trying to be like, oh, so good to see you. She's fucking like bringing her in. Like, you know, trying to fucking, sort of muffle her and choke her out, like, don't fucking say shit to my husband. Then they fucked him around because they're in fucking deep purple. Right? And then Marcy, she's a woman. She's just not going to come out and say it. Where's the fun there? Then it's over. You know, it's like a cat playing with the mouse. She's just going to linger. She's going to start talking to the husband. Yeah, acting all interest, not looking at fucking, you know, Marcy, right? And then she's going to kind of glance over at her. And then she's just going to just slowly let it out. Yeah, me and your wife, yeah, we were crazy back then. Remember all those concerts we went to? And she's just going to watch their, I forget who's Marcy at this point, the fucking chick who got let, we'll just say Marcy's the married one, all right? You're just going to see her face fucking fall. It's this fucking chick just twist the fucking knife. Is she going to tell? Is she not going to tell? And then she'll back off and change the subject. And then she'll gradually come back around to it. And this fucking guy's just standing there, doesn't know a fucking thing. I'm sorry. I was just doing a table read for a fucking screenplay I'm writing called Marcy's a Cunt. You know, and I've been shopping it around Hollywood forever. And I tell you, as great as the script is, for whatever fucking reason, they just cannot get past the title. You know, it's just this politically correct age that we live in. All right, let's get to some of the reads here for this week. Oh, for Christ's sake, Bill. Did you even fucking? No, you didn't. Here we go. All right, here we go. Four reads. Indochino? What the fuck is this? Talk about how good it feels to have a suit that is one of kind and is uniquely yours. Talk about how when you look good, you feel confident. Let me talk about that. Why don't you fucking write some shit for me to talk about? What is this, an interview? Talk about wearing suits. All right, Indochino. All right, Indochino is reinventing. Oh, I remember these guys. Oh, these guys actually, I don't know why I'm shitting on them. These guys are fucking great. Hey, I'll talk about this. Hey, you remember when you had to go to that fucking thing and you had to wear a fucking suit? And you put it on and you look like you lost 30 pounds because it was your older brother's, you know? Wouldn't it be nice to have a suit that just completely fit you, was totally custom made and measured out your arms and your legs and your crotch, right? Seeing how far down your balls hang. Wouldn't that be great? Except it didn't cost a zillion bucks. Well, you couldn't do that, but now there's Indochino. They are reinventing men's fashion. And a made-to-measure suit is the best suit you'll ever own. So suit up. Get a one-of-a-kind, made-to-measure suit. Customize the details you want. Pick your lining, lapels, personal monogram. There you go. There's a good one. Every chick, even these feminists, like when a guy has his initials on the fucking cuffs, right? And more. The fuck happened to the AC? 14 unique measurements go into making a suit that fits you perfectly. You can't go wrong with the well-crafted 100% merino wool suit. Also, check out, who the fuck buys a wool suit in August? Also, check out their made-to-measure dress shirts and men's accessories. Money-back guarantee. Today, my listeners, get any premium suit just for $3.99. That's up to 50% off at Indochino.com when entering Burr at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. There's no reason not to try your first custom-made suit with a deal this good. And a classic suit from their premium collection will look good, feel good, and last. That's Indochino.com, promo code Burr. Any premium suit for just $3.99, free shipping. That's Indochino or Chino. Look, your look, your way. Okay, that was a rough one. All right. Oh, Dollar Shave Club, dude. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to your door for a third of the price of what the greedy razor corporations charge. You know why? They don't give a fuck, dude. That means you can join Dollar Shave Club. You can afford to shave with a fresh blade anytime you want, which feels fantastic. You get a first-class shave when you use the executive blade. Oh, yeah, and that's without even hurting your wallet. And when you use the executive razor with Dr. Cavi's Easy Shave Butter, the blade just glides gently for the smoothest shave ever. Shave butter. Dude, people can do cocaine off your cheek. That's how fucking smooth it's going to be. dice it right up. Oh, God, that would hurt. Shave butter isn't your average shave cream. It's a unique conditioning formula with high-quality natural ingredients, leaving your skin unbelievably soft and smooth. Now is a great time to join Dollar Shave Club. New members who buy a tube of shave butter get a month of the Executive Razor for free. Take advantage of this special offer today. It's available by going to dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. All right, what do we got left? Two more. Hang in there. Score big.
Hey!
You're paying too much for tickets. Between all the markups and last-minute convenience charges, even print-at-home fees.
You fucking kidding me, dude?
You end up paying courtside prices for nosebleed seats. Score Big is here to change all of that. Did you know that 40% of all live event tickets go unsold? And did you know there's a place to get these seats at a huge savings? It's called Score Big. Score Big works directly with your favorite teams and artists to get their unsold seats at unpublished prices.
Only
with Score Big can you name a ticket price.
I want it for free.
And be guaranteed to pay below box office, up to 60% off. Here's what you got to do. You don't have to do it, but this is what you should do. One, uno, go to scorebig.com or download the new. I just realized when French people fuck, does the woman think the guy's counting? Or is he just, you know, fucking, you know? Sorry. Go to scorebig.com or download the new Score Big app for your iPhone and find the event and seats you want.
Duh.
Make an offer with Score Big's name, a ticket price feature.
Ocho!
Get an instant answer. Then save up to 60% off your tickets. Never any fees, and shipping is always free. You can count on an unbeatable prices and great seats. And when you're in great seats, you actually enjoy the game or the show all the more. Yeah, because you got more chance of being next to some gold digging whore might give you a fucking handy if you got your initials on your sleeve there. Next time you go see any game or show, go to Score Big first and see how much you can save. For the easiest, Jesus Christ, we get it. For the easiest way to save on tickets, download the new Score Big app for your iPhone. Enter the promo code BURR at checkout and you'll save an extra $20 off your first tickets purchase. No iPhone, no problem. Go steal one. Punch an old lady in the head. No. Get the $20 off online. Get $20 off online too at scorebig.com. That's scorebig.com, promo code BURR. Scorebig.com, promo code BURR. Lastly, but not leastly, stamps.com, everybody. You know, trips to the post office have probably become second nature to you. They seem easy because you've been doing your mailing and shipping that way for so long. And you live in a first world country, so you don't have to walk 9 miles with a basket on your head to go get some water while you fight off a cobra. But think about all the hassle, man. Dropping what you're doing, driving there, finding parking, and waiting. There's a much better way.
Hey, Bill, what would that be?
Oh, it's stamps.com, everybody. Stamps.com is the easiest, convenient way to get postage right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. With Stamps.com, there's no guesswork. You don't have to think, you fucking dope. They make it easy to get exact postage for any letter, package, class of mail the instant you need it. No expensive postage meters to lease. No more trips to the post office. You have to try. You don't have to, but you should. I use Stamps.com anytime I'm, you know, I got to ship out my posters, then I'm going to whore myself out, meet the public. Every 11th person's going to have a fucking sweaty palm. Maybe there'll be a tall guy. He can put his arm around me and I can feel the heat of his sweaty armpit making my right shoulder blade damp through my shirt. Sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Burr, for this special offer. 4-week trial plus $110 bonus offer. That includes the postage and the digital scale.
Holy shit.
Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, it's time to go back to the pool. Did anybody watch the Hungary Grand Prix yesterday? Did you? Well, did you? Lewis Hamilton wins again. Nico Rosberg came in second. And now Lewis Hamilton, that's the fifth time he won that race. And I learned that he passed Craig Shoemaker, stand-up comedian and legendary F1 driver. No, Michael Schumacher. Every other Grand Prix driver sounds like the guitarist in Scorpions. In the Scorpions, I should say. You know what's fucked up about that track? And I don't know shit about this sport. It just seemed whoever was in first, like the race was to the first turn, and then it was just fucking over. You couldn't get past anybody, you know? Who was that fucking lunatic zigzagging behind the Red Bull? Huh? Going back and forth. He cut off the front of his fucking car. Was it Sebastian Vettel? Was it Max Verstappen?
Ladies and gentlemen, on the guitar, Max Verstappen!
Kimi Raikkonen was the driver of the day. He was in like in fucking 90th place and he moved up to like 7th or some shit. It's moments. The race for 4th was really entertaining. But I didn't like how, you know, there was no way for fucking Nico to even try to pass Lewis. Once he got out in front that fucking track, it was just, you know, kind of stunk. Like Lewis Hamilton was just driving around. Right? The whole fucking time. And, you know, they were just showing, like, the race for 4th and 5th and 3rd and 4th. And then, like, they were on the final lap. And it was so fucking boring out front. They were still back, you know, watching that guy zigzag. Hey, Formula One fans, I don't understand why like, the fucking rules. Well, Bill, why don't you look them up? Well, it's easier to ask you guys. It's also funnier if I talk about them and I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't get out when the guy who cut off the front of his car, right? One of the fucking fins. I did find it funny that they were like, yeah, people do that all the time and it doesn't affect the performance of the car. Doesn't seem to anyways. Where they were saying you were only allowed to make one move. Like he went to the right and then he came back to the left and then back to the right and that was considered more than one move. And I was just like, what the fuck? You can't do that? I thought I left this behind with the NFL season. This is like, you know, he's got to make a football move. That fucking guy, when he tried to go around the other dude, didn't do anything that I don't do when I'm on the highway, when I'm behind some fucking douche driving too fucking slow in the left lane. Right? Oh, you know what? And I'm in the second to left lane, right? And there's some guy driving medium speed, and then somebody doing that just making a wall. And I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? And then you go around to the right. Coming around. Now, when I watched the race, it was Lewis Hamilton, then Rosberg. And I remember it was a Red Bull, then a Ferrari, then a Red Bull, then a Ferrari. And then today it's saying Red Bull, Ferrari, Ferrari, Red Bull. So did somebody get penalized? It's fucking unreal. I don't get it. Like, there's always like after the fucking, oh, you thought you won the race, but somebody said something. It's, hey, don't shift into seventh gear. And they're like, oh, you can't do that. Don't tell him what he shouldn't do. You know, he's only driving a car at 200 fucking miles an hour. One guy spun out. That was it. There wasn't really any crashes or anything like that. But it was funny. I'm actually totally into it. My wife can't stand it. She says it, when I have it on, it sounds like a bunch of bees flying around. But it's still fucking cool as shit. Although that, I don't know. That was probably, out of all the races I've watched, that's been my least favorite. Just because there was all this, like the start of the race was the most exciting. And then there was just a bunch of people in the back trying to go around people and they couldn't do it except for Kimi Raikkonen, the flying Finn, evidently. See, the flying Finn, I have no fucking idea. Anyways, but this is really getting me through the fucking dog days of baseball. I fucking love baseball, but I just, you know, I can't get into it in July and August. I like it in April, you know, into May, you start seeing what's going to happen. And then I just fucking veg out. June, July, August, the same way the players do, right? They're just standing up there like, dude, what the fuck? How many fucking games do you have to play in the regular season before we know who deserves to win the division? 162 fights. Isn't that insane? That has to be, if you're going to own a professional team, that's got to be the sport to do it. 162 home games. Your team's selling out the ballpark? Jesus Christ. Those things have to be... I got to look this up right now. Look at this. I'm actually going to do research. Professional. See, I know. Franchises. I should have put sports in there, right? Now all of a sudden they're going to be fucking talking to me about McDonald's. Worth the most. Okay, well, this is everything. Okay, the Dallas Cowboys, for whatever reason, are worth $4 billion. Real Madrid, which I'm guessing is some sort of football club in Spain, is worth $3.7 billion. And then there's another one in Barcelona. Is that also Spain? $3.6 billion. The New York Yankees, there you go. Well, that makes sense that, like, world football, as we call it, soccer, would be worth that much money, because that really is. When you win a world championship, you're winning the World Cup. You're playing against the fucking world, right? It's like an Olympic medal, except you get paid. Then the New York Yankees, $3.4 billion. Then Man United, $3.3 billion. Oh, and then the New England Patriots, everybody's favorite fucking team to hate on, $3.2 billion. Then the New York Knicks, what? $3 billion? Jesus Christ. New York, I'll tell you, that's a fixer-upper, right? That New York Knicks are a fucking teardown. Oh, this is weird, man. Then the Washington Redskins, $2.9 billion? Hey! Shut up! I hate when this happens. Now you got to figure out where the fuck the voice is coming from. Shut up. Oh, there it is. All right. All right. The Redskins are worth $2.9 billion. Then the Giants are $2.8 billion. Then the Lakers are $2.7. The Lakers are worth less than the Knicks. If anything says that this state is going to fall into the ocean one day, it's that the fact that the fucking Knicks are worth more fucking money than the fucking Lakers. Jesus Christ, what are the Celtics worth? Oh my God, Rappaport's going to fucking love that. Well, you know something that actually makes sense because, you know, when you move to Manhattan, can you fucking let me get to the site? I hate when fucking sites do this. They just got to suck the fucking information out of you. Forbes. I'm going to give you my fucking email. What, so Time Magazine can start fucking spamming me? I don't think so. Why Hillary Clinton should be thankful election is not today. I don't know why. Is there pantsuits all in the fucking dry cleaners? All right, let's do... Where am I? How much time have I done? 41 minutes. You know, some days it feels like work, other days it doesn't. You know, I've become obsessed with, as of last night, I've been doing this grip strength thing, and I've been fucking doing great, man. I can go up a pegboard now. At 48 years of age, I can go up a climbing rope, leaving my skinny fucking alabaster fucking albino legs just dangling like a fucking, I don't know, couple of appendixes, right? Jesus, I never had to make that plural. Appendixes. Tits, today's. Yeah, because you know what? I got those atomic fucking holds. Those motherfuckers better send me some free shit. I'm sick of hyping those guys up, but they're the shit. They are the shit. So now I want to be able to do one of those, is it called a front lever or front lever? And I watched this guy's YouTube video. I'll repost it. The six easy steps. Hey, the lovely Nia to being able to do a front lever. Did you hear about Paula Abdul?
No, what?
She's a singer, and oh she was God. A Laker girl.
I fucking hate you. Don't do that. Paula Abdul is a national treasure.
Come on.
No, I have to eat my cereal.
Oh, okay.
I just brought you some of this.
Thank you. Come over onto the mic. Mike, baby. Do, 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 do.
Why did you do that about Paula Abdul?
Because
I love Paula Abdul.
I know. I like
don't
making people laugh. I had to pick someone you know if
you
I was
can't
like.
Go. Did you hear about Paula Abdul? Like, that's not funny. Well, it is funny.
It is funny. And you're going to sit there and act like you're not going to do it to me?
That's true.
Who would you pick?
One of your rock icons, probably.
you know, it kind of helps if you pick a name.
Well, I can't tell you because then it's not going to be a surprise when I do it.
Oh, all right. No, it isn't because you already told me you're going to do it. See what I did there?
Yeah. I guess, but I could flip it. I don't know. It's the morning still. Here, drink some of your juice. I brought it for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I got to do a podcast if you don't mind.
Just drink it right now, though.
No, people give me shit because I try not to drink on the mic, but I have to hold the microphone.
Just take a sip of it.
All right, then talk to them while I drink it.
Okay, so on my Snapchat last night, if you guys follow me on Snapchat, I made my fresh squeeze watermelon juice, and I'm giving it to Bill, who loves it. Wow, he's taking it down like a champ.
You give me anything in this glass, mm-hmm. I suck it down just like my juice I drink at night.
Daddy's medicine?
Daddy's medicine. All right, I got to get back to the podcast, Nia.
Okay.
All righty.
All right.
Okay.
What you talking about?
I don't really know. This has just been one of these stream of conscious days.
That's your whole podcast.
I talked about some lady with a basket on her head trying to get water while she fought off a cobra. I do remember that.
Okay.
And I also talked about how big the heads are of the people running for president and how I would be concerned if I was the head of security.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else?
That's all I can remember.
Oh. Riveting.
Okay. All right, I'll see you. Hey, Nene.
Yes.
Did you hear about Lady Gaga?
Goodbye.
She had a meat dress. All right, let's get to some of the questions here. So I became obsessed with the that front lever. And this guy has a six-step thing on how to do it. Because I always wanted to be able to do the human fucking flag, you know? That's just a great thing to be able to do if you're not a gymnast, because people just expect you to be able to do it. But if you're just like a dad, you got a couple of kids, you know, you're fucking into roofing. Nah, that's a physical job. Whatever. You fucking build. I don't know. It'd just be something just funny to do that you could actually fucking do that. Just weird people out. You know what that reminds me? I wanted to do a bit on these fucking CrossFit people. But I just feel like it's just too hacky and every comic's going to have a bit on it. So what's the deal? Why do these CrossFit people, why do they have to like work out in the gym and outside? Why is it just so fucking look at me, we're working out. I work out too. I work out my garage with the fucking door closed. It's the most narcissistic shit. You ever see when they're just like they're fucking running down the street with like a goddamn fucking tire behind them, right? Somebody show me a picture of a guy doing that. I retweeted it, right? Running down the street, dragging a tire. Why don't you just run up a hill, you fucking moron? You know? Oh, because the tire adds more difficulty. Well, then run up the hill more times. Increase your reps, you stupid fuck. Well, what are you training for? The stand, like I was fucking somewhere in Santa Monica, these fucking jerk-offs, there's like 10 of them outside. And they got, you know, when they got the double fucking ropes, that thing that they do. That the only reason you really need to do that is if you're fighting in the UFC. They're the only people who seem to need to have to do that. Then everybody else wants to be in UFC shape without having to actually have the balls to get in the octagon. All right? So fucking dumb. And or even when they're inside, there's like down the street, there's one for me. It's like this giant garage door and they just have it open. Like, look at us. We're CrossFitting. I talked to Nia about it. She was saying like, yeah, it was like all the rage to be on one of those social media things. And like, oh, I did, you know, like filming yourself, working out, hashtag CrossFit. It's just, I don't know. When I was a kid. If you wanted people to look at you, you got into show business, okay? You became a male stripper, you told jokes, you joined a band, you know? Now these fucking assholes, they're making a bundt cake and they got like fucking 80,000 fucking hits and everybody's walking around with the same arrogance that I have. It's not fair, people. I earned my arrogance. I'm fucking with you. You want to work outside. You want to run down the street with a fucking tire behind you. You know what I mean? I don't quite understand when to apply the white privilege thing because I am white. And who's kidding who? I am one of the whitest of all time. You know what I mean? I would say Hitler would not be disappointed if I walked into his office, but I think the red hair, I think I might be out. Want chalk white skin, Chuck? Want the blue eyes, yeah? Oh, this one's defective. All right, everybody, if you want to help donate to this podcast without having to do fucking anything except buy something on Amazon.com, just go to my website, BillBurr.com, okay? And there's an Amazon app there. You click on that thing, it takes you right to Amazon. It doesn't cost you any extra money. I just get credit for driving traffic to their site, and then they kick me a little do-re-mi. You didn't have to do nothing. Nobody knows anything, and, you know, whatever. I go out and I buy myself a ham sandwich. You can do it if you want to. If you don't, that's fine. If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, I hate this thing. Gee, I wish there was a podcast network that had a bunch of other podcasts to choose from. I would say to go to allthingscomedy.com. The podcast network started by myself and Al Madrigal and a bunch of other people. We got Ari Shaffir over there. I should really go onto the website right now and give you a bunch of fucking names, right? All Things Comedy, right? Of all the people I used to podcast with. All right, what do we have here? Oh, we got Dean Del Rey's Let There Be Talk. Chris Saint and Anna David, I Have No Control Over My Vagina. How do you not fucking listen to that? We got Steve Simone. We got Doug Stanhope. My fucking goddamn eyes are going. I can't even read half of these fucking things. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. We got, with Aaron Foley, Sports Without Balls. I mean, we get whatever the fuck you want. We got it over there. Allthingscomedy.com. All right, let's read some shit here for this week. Shall we? 50 minutes in. Professor Dickwad. Hey, Bill, you hemoglobin-laden erythrocyte. I had to look all of that up. That's basically, see, I have a lot of red in me, a lot of red blood cells, I guess. Let's make this as short and sweet as possible. Hey, all right. Why are you fucking don't lecture me, you cunt? I go to a nice college. I also manage a movie theater in my town, too. Why would you say also and too? I manage a movie theater in my town, also, or two. Two and also mean the same thing, right? I also manage a movie theater in my town, too. Comma, two. All right. At school, I've got a film. You said you're going to make it short and sweet. At school, I've got a film studies class with one of those pretentious fucking professors that wears young kid clothes to come off cooler than he really is. Yeah, you know what that means. He's going to fuck a student. I love movies. I've seen plenty of them. That's the reason why I'm taking this class. Well, that's great. Gravitate to what you want. Every time before we watch a movie in this class, the professor asks us to raise our hands if we've seen it before. I raise my hand almost every time. Then I look around to see if anyone else is raising their hand. They rarely are. Sure, I'm a nerd. I've seen the fucking movies. Maybe if you didn't play the most standard choices like Casablanca and shit, I wouldn't raise my hand every time. Look at that. You like movies? You're doing your homework. You're taking a class on it. You're gravitating towards what you want. Very nice. All right. So, anyway, I was just recently hired on an employee. Dude, you're killing me. I just recently hired on as an employee. You left out the as. At my theater, who also happens to be a student of my film studies. You went by an employee. So anyway, I was just recently hired by an employee at my theater who also happens to be a student of my film studies professor, but in a different class at a different school. I think I conveyed what you were trying to say there. As a joke one day, I asked the kid, so does Mr. So-and-so ever talk shit about our class? The kid looks me square in the eye and says, yeah, actually he does. Dr. So-and-so says, there's this one kid in your all's class, you mean y'all's class, who always raises his hand when he asks if he's seen the movie, but really he probably hasn't. And then he looks around the room to make sure everyone is looking at him to know he's seen the movie before. That's hilarious. This guy's getting insecure. You're making your teacher insecure. So now he's got to, oh, Jesus. That's probably why he's wearing the young people's clothes. He's talking shit about the other class to make himself seem cool. Oh, this guy's a bitch. I don't like this teacher. He goes, so there we go. This guy talks shit about me to his other classes when all I'm doing is gently raising my hand after being asked if I've seen the movie or not. In any other case, I'd probably just confront him about this, but I don't want to risk failing the class or something petty like that. Am I overthinking this? What should I do here? I'd walk right up to the guy. Who gives a fuck this fucking insecure cunt? He'll probably give you a better grade because with his need to be liked. Just walk right up to him. But yeah, listen, man. There seems to be some confusion on your part that you seem to be trying to work out with the other class as to why I raise my hand every time. I happen to love movies. I work at a movie theater, okay? And I've seen all these movies. And I look around just to see if anybody else has seen the movies because I love movies and I want to talk to people about movies. If you don't want me to keep, you know, raising my hand, stop doing this paint-by-numbers basic horseshit movies that you keep picking. What are you going to have next week? Days of Thunder? Huh? You giving me shit? You're going to come in here dressed like you're going to a fucking... what are the young kids listen to? You just go see The Weeknd? Is that the right thing? Who's the other guy? Who's the rapper who won all the fucking Grammys? Kendrick Lamar? I know who they are. I don't... I know a few of their songs. I know The Weeknd's CD starts off going, quack, 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 quack. You can actually play the beginning of The Weeknd. I think rednecks do it. As much as they probably don't like his skin color, they probably play that when they're out duck hunting. To try to get the young ducks, you know, who are into all this fucking... I'm fucking with you. I am a fan of The Weeknd. It was hard during that last joke. I went to Apollo. All right. Hey, Billy, calorie count. Thoughts on Melissa McCarthy getting flack for losing weight? All right. My first thought on Melissa McCarthy, I did a movie with her a number of years ago. It was called The Heat, directed by Paul Feig, starring Melissa McCarthy, Sandra Bullock. And that's where I first met Michael Rapaport, you know? Dropping names all over the place, and she is truly one of the most naturally funny, fucking hilarious human beings I have ever met, and she's an absolute sweetheart. So anyways, I didn't realize people were giving... Why would you give somebody flack for losing weight? Aren't you supposed to say, hey, great job, good for you? You know? Anyway, so people are saying she's doing it because of Hollywood pressures. That's so fucking dumb. All right, people are just asking. That's not what it is. It's the same towny mentality when you're finally deciding that, you know, wearing your football jacket and continuing to drink in the local bar, you want more out of life. And then, don't go forgetting about us. Oh, what do you think, you're smart now? Like all of them, they don't want to see her get her shit together. You know, misery loves fucking company. You know, they would stay here and be out of shape. Good for her. Fucking assholes. What kind of an asshole when somebody makes a positive move in their life tries to make it negative? Well, me. I'm a comedian. I do that all the time. But besides people like me. Anyways, these people who always say you should be comfortable in your own body no matter what you look like completely ignore basic information like clogged arteries and such. Absolutely. Maybe Melissa McCarthy doesn't want to die of a heart attack because she wants to meet her grandchildren one day. I lost 30 pounds since listening to you fat shame everyone. I honestly didn't know I was getting fat. I was never fat ever. But then 3 years at an office job in college, I'm 24. I put on the gross 30 I recently lost. Yeah, dude, at 24, man, you were headed towards being, you were going to die. If you were 30 pounds overweight at 24, that is not a good thing. So congratulations. Anyways, he said, I feel 1,000 times better. I never looked fat because I'm a tall guy and I carry it well, so I never heard anything from anyone. I did it on my own for myself. These fat defenders are ignorantly judging and assuming. Thoughts on this? Also, when the fuck do we get to see your gym video? I want to see your pasty legs dangling from a pull-up bar like meat hanging in a locker. Ah, you fucking cunts. No, this is the thing about this business. the only pressure that is, as far as I'm concerned, the only pressure in this business is what you as an individual choose to accept. All right? And everybody does it to a certain point when you first get into entertainment because you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You come into this business with your hat in hand. You're like, I'll sweep the floors. I'll do whatever you want. Just give me stage time. I'll drive to another state to do 5 minutes for no money, for $5 gas money. We all do that shit. But at some point, you then have to put a value on what the fuck it is you're doing, right? And then you start getting paid. Then what happens is you're like going, fuck, you know, you get in this business, it takes a while to get going, and everybody starts creeping into 30. So you start freaking out, going, oh, what is the industry casting? What are they looking at? What is the blah, 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 and all that type of shit, okay? Now, a lot of people do not ever get past that because they don't put a value on their talent. And I'm not even talking monetarily. This is just my own belief system. You have to believe that you have something to say that, you know, you can't be married to the results. You just got to do that Zen thing. Like, I'm talking about this shit. I'm doing this. And, like, take me, all right? I came into the business, all right? A fucking redheaded cunt, male, you know? So, from day one, there's not going to be a lot of roles for me. There's not a lot of redheaded male leads and shit, you know? I'm the friend, right? That's the deal. That's how it works. The redheaded male is not the fucking cool guy. So to make matters worse, I started losing my fucking hair. And I was like, ah, fuck, now what? Do I go out and get plugs and all that shit? And just one day, right? You know, Neil was just buzz your fucking head down. And I was just like, and I just came to this epiphany of just like, yeah, Bill, why are you walking around like you losing your fucking hair is a big deal? Does that mean you're not funny anymore? Does that mean, you know, were you going to be the next Brad Pitt if you kept your fucking hair, right? And then I just said, yeah, fuck it. So then I did it. And ever since I had the philosophy of basically, this is what I look like. And this is what I do. If you want to book me, thank you. If you don't, I understand. The second I went into that mindset, I never fucking stressed again. So I really think that all that whole, you know, the pressures of fucking Hollywood is... I understand that when you're young, but as you're getting older, you have to fucking, it really has nothing to do with Hollywood. I think it has more to do with, you know, why you got into this business, you know, the self-loathing, you know, and not liking yourself, I think. And I have to tell you, this past weekend, I watched Ali Wong's special and, it was so fucking great. And I was sitting there with my wife and I was saying, like, what I loved, she went out there and it just was, she was fucking original. All of her stuff was just, it was just fucking, it was just a great set. It was worthy. Like this, it really was a stand-up special. And, you know, she went out there, you know, and everybody's making a big fucking deal that it, like, because she was pregnant that she did it. Oh my God, all these fucking questions. And I understand why they did that because no one's ever done that. But there should be more questions about how great the material was. But I was saying to my wife when I was watching this, I go, you see this? She had a special to do and she didn't give a fuck that she was pregnant. And she just walked out and then she owned it. And now what she's done is she's established herself that now she can just basically do whatever the fuck she wants. She wants to have another kid. She can literally go on tour while pregnant because she's established that. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. I'm married. I'm starting a fucking family. And I'm writing killer jokes. This is what I'm doing. Now, all these fucking feminists who sit there going, like, oh my God, Hollywood won't let you be pregnant. I would argue you're giving them way too much fucking power. Way too much power. Just go out. If every fucking woman out here just started getting pregnant because they wanted to and continued to go on auditions, the whole fucking business would adjust. You make it adjust to you rather than the other fucking way around. And if you haven't seen her special, you know, a lot of the hype on it is the fact that she did it 7 months pregnant. But I'm telling you, just as someone who's still, as long as I've been doing this, a huge fan of stand-up comedy, It's the jokes are fucking killer. The subject matter, all of it. It was just like, you know, God knows there's a zillion fucking specials out there, but you know, every once in a while, you know, someone comes out like with that. That was one of the best ones I've seen in a while. So I guess I would tie all of that back into that. It's like, I would say that she's losing weight. Yeah. She's married. She's got kids. And what, who the fuck doesn't want to lose weight? I'm trying to lose weight. No one wants to walk around being overweight. It's not fun. Your life is easier. And people who give a shit about that, I would just say, you know, I feel bad for them because I know they don't want to be out of shape too. You know, I mean, they just, like, being proud to be out of shape, that's like being proud to be like a fucking alcoholic. You know you got issues. Your fucking heart isn't fucking excited that you're overweight. Like, that's right. That's right. You don't, you know. Every pound of fat is 5 miles of capillaries. You know, you get 20 pounds overweight, your heart's got to fucking go an extra 100 miles every fucking beat. You know, stupid. It's not a good thing to be doing. So congratulations to her. And, you know, I'm struggling right now to lose fucking weight. Oh, I'll tell you, it's not easy. Oh, Billy Boo's bag. All right. Christian girls' sexual boundaries. Hey, Billy Bo Berman. I listened to all your specials multiple times and really love the advice segments you do on your podcast. I'm back home for the summer from my first year of college, and I'm hooking up with this 6 to 10 Christian... What? Oh, 6 out of 10 Christian girl the last couple of months of school. I barely even just retained any of that because I was hoping everything that I said came off as positive in that last thing. Anyway, let me reread this. I've listened to all you said, back for the summer. Okay, I'm hooking up with this 6 out of 10 Christian girl the last couple months of school. The encounters basically consisted of me aggressively finger finger blasting her to quench her sexual deviancy. Oh, I love how you're just fucking innocent in all this. And her giving my... Okay. Oh, this is a woman writing this. And her giving my carpet a midnight snack. What? Oh, no, this is a guy. Why are you saying your carpet? Giving my carpet a midnight snack while jerking me off. You lost me in that one. What is your carpet? Your pubes? What is this snack? Because you come on yourself? I don't even know what's going on here. All right, anyway, she's a devout Christian, so she won't get involved with oral sex or anything further. The thing is, her idea of boundaries are pretty amorphous. I don't know what that means. Nah, you fucking asshole. Now I got to look. You know what? Actually, keep doing this. Maybe I'll get smart one day. Amorphous. Amorphous, without a clear, defined shape or form. How did I never hear that? My whole fucking life. There's so many fucking words in the English language. And then they always say that, but we use like 19 of them. 4 of them are curse words. All right. She's begged me to pleasure her with the hilt of my screwdriver. Dude, are you from another century? What the fuck is a hilt? Is that the handle? Don't know why I even had one at college. And jerk me off under her face when we took a late night sleepover shower together. Yeah, but that's not really a facial. When the water's right there, you know what I mean? That's like, you know, you're gonna walk on some hot rocks and you just fucking do a running leap and touch one for half a second. You keep going, right? She's also into being, it's like picking up dog shit with the little fucking plastic bag around your hand, you know? You're still touching dog shit, but you feel the warmth of it. But, you know, there's a boundary there. She's also into being choked and tied up during, Jesus fucking Christ, up during dry humping. Apparently, that stuff's still Christian enough for her. I've had sex a few times before this. Why are you judging this girl so harshly? All right? This is this religion thing. This is where she's at. Just fucking relax. Seems like you're having a hell of a time. Because I had sex a few times before this girl and know that even protected fucking is infinitely more pleasurable than outsourced masturbation. My question to you is, do you think she'll ever realize how ridiculous it is to take a load on her face but not accept cunnilingus? Will she ever want premarital sex? I know I should go to a gym, lose this girl, get some sleep, and take advantage of the pussy coliseum that is my university campus, but I'm lazy and want to fuck the low-hanging fruit. What can I do to convince her that college sex is natural, wholesome, and would make her feel incredible? Thanks so much and go fuck yourself. I would say you should let this girl go because you don't have any feelings for her. You're using her as a fucking blow-up doll. You just say, you know, I know I should go meet some other people, but this girl's an easy fucking sex hookup. I don't know. I mean, meantime, is she getting feelings for you? Because if you're just sitting there hanging around waiting to be able to fuck her so then you can then leave, you're already saying she's a 6 out of 10. That doesn't sound like you have feelings for her. So I'd let her go. I'd let her go, and I'd find some girl and just let them know. You're young, so I'm not judging you here. What you got to do early on, and this is what nobody ever tells young men, is just out of the gate. Tell women what the deal is, all right? Because believe it or not, they can have fun. They don't flip out when you just say, yeah, there's no way I'm going to marry you. You know, if you say it right from the beginning, the second you meet them, right? If you're not feeling anything, but you're just attracted to them, just tell them that. And just fucking let them, you know, work that out. And maybe they're in the same place you are, and they just want to fuck. They don't want to have a relationship. But if you get into that type of a situation, you got to make sure that you got to have, like, you know, you fuck, and then you don't call each other or talk or do anything else. You do not hang out, and there's got to be at least 10 days between the fucking hookups, or somebody starts feeling something, and then it's a fucking mess. Or they get jealous because you're with somebody else or whatever. You know what I mean? And this is what you fucking say from day one. You tell them that. All right? This deal. We're going to hook up. Anything you ever wanted to fucking do, you can do with me. You're not going to get judged. You don't have to worry about getting judged because it is what it is. All right? And then that's it. We don't call each other. This is what we just fucking use each other for this. Anytime you're feeling horny, if you're not in a fucking relationship, I don't give a shit if you date other people. Believe it or not, if you come out of the gate with that shit, you would be surprised how many women are also looking for that. It's a great, a fuck buddy is, it's the greatest thing ever. Greatest fucking thing ever. It's like having fucking, I don't know, free tickets to Disneyland. You get to ride on all the fucking rides. You know, you got VIP parking. It's like ordering a pizza. It's tremendous. And you know what? Women also order pizza, if you know what I mean. So have fun with that. But let this girl go, man. All right. First time flying at 30 years of age. Hey there, Billy the Ginger Bats. Just want to say I've been a huge fan for over 10 years and have loved every special you had. Well, thank you very much. I'm 30, have never been on a plane, and heights kind of freak me out. To top it off, my flight is on 9/11 and makes two stops in between here, Connecticut and Chicago. I'm going there for my job, and I'd really hate to miss out on the opportunity. Basically, I'm just looking for advice on how to not freak out and look like a fucking idiot on the plane. Seeing as how you've had so much experience flying, I figured you'd be a good person to talk to. Thanks and go fuck yourself. Yeah, it's no big deal. It's completely safe and, you know, you're going to be fine. This is the deal. You're going to go up there, right? This is what you do. Get on the plane and then just say to the person next to you, yeah, believe it or not, this is the first time I've ever flown. Hopefully you're not next to a douche. If they seem open, just tell them that, all right? But, dude, believe me, you're not going to... Have you ever just stomped on the gas when you've been driving a car and you just get back in your seat? It's just sort of like that. And then you're fucking up in the air, and it's the coolest thing ever. It's fucking great. And you're going to go from fucking Connecticut to Chicago in, like, fucking 2 seconds. You know, you got two stops there. Okay. Well, that's cool. It'll be fun. Yeah, well, then you'll be a veteran by the end of it. And, yeah, welcome to the fucking 21st century. You're going to be fine. What I would say is, you know, just make sure you eat well before you go to the airport. You know, maybe bring some food to go onto the plane, you know, because the food on the plane sucks. It's fucking overpriced and that type of thing. And, you know, that's the only thing I would say. Other than that, you have nothing to worry about. It's going to be great. Get a fucking window seat, too, if you can. That's the best. You know, first time you fly, you get to look down. It's actually pretty incredible to be doing that at 30 years of age because you can actually take it in. You know, first time I flew, I was so young that I don't ever have that, like, oh, this is what it looks like from the fucking air. You'll be fine. All right. William, I've been dating my girl. This is the last one, and then I got to get on with my day here of doing absolutely nothing. William, I've been dating my girl for a few years now, and everything started out great. However, over the course of the past few months, I've noticed a sudden change in her behavior and was wondering if you dealt with anything like this before. Yeah, she's either using drugs or fucking someone else, or she's depressed. I'm fucking with you. Let me read the rest of this. Basically, when we hang out lately, she just won't stop asking questions. She may ask, what are you listening to? I might say the Bill Burr podcast. Then she will ask why. I don't know, because I enjoy it, he says. Then she will follow it up with, why don't you listen to the radio or another podcast? And down the rabbit hole it goes. Oh, I don't like this person already. The thing is, these questions are nonstop and so subjective. It got to the point where I straight up asked her if she was trolling me and she denied it. Everything else in the relationship is going well, so I'm not sure what to do. I've talked to her and told her she asked too many questions. She then turns around on me and says I never want to talk to her anymore. Oh, she turns it around on me and says that I never want to talk to her anymore. That's not talking. It's just asking a bunch of fucking questions. So what should I do? Break up with her? Just answer the questions? What would you do, Bill? Why is your name Bill anyways? Why not Dave, huh? Why isn't it Dave, Bill? Why aren't you answering me, Bill? Don't want to talk anymore? Why is the podcast an hour anyways? Why not an hour 10 or 50 minutes, huh, Bill? Yeah, all right, dude. I just walked in your shoes there. Yeah, I would break up with her. I'd break up with her. But if you really like her, I'd give her one last chance and just be like, just tell her, you're driving me fucking insane. And, you're driving me fucking insane. I like everything about you but that. And if my life with you is going to be that, I'm going to leave. Okay? But I got to be honest with you, dude. I don't know how people change. Changing yourself, who the fuck you are, is really difficult. So hopefully it'll work out with you. So that's what I would do. I would just say, listen, I like everything but that. Everything about you is great except for that. But that is so fucking horrific. This is going to walk out that fucking door if you don't cut it up. That's it. That's it. If I could redo my whole dating life, it would have been fucking communicating. Instead of just being like, whoa, what the fuck? And then going out getting shit-faced. What was wrong with you yesterday? Nothing. I'm sorry. And then you don't fucking work it out. Hey, work it out, okay? All right, that's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. I'll check in on you on Thursday. Thank you to everybody who's been listening to the podcast. And obviously, I'm beyond excited to do this tour starting, oh my God, the 31st. No, it starts the 30th, doesn't it? Get the fuck out of here. Oh, my show isn't until the 31st. Well, what do you know? I'll have an extra day there in Ireland. All right, here it is, in case you're listening. Dublin, Ireland, Belfast, then Galway, then Bristol, UK, Manchester, UK. All right, I probably should say the dates. July 31st, I'm in Dublin. August 1st, I'm in Belfast. August 2nd, Galway. Then I go over to England. I'm in Bristol. On the 3rd and on the 4th, I'm in Manchester. You know what's in between Bristol and Manchester? John Bonham's gravesite. If I have time, I'm going to pay my respects. I'm not going to do a fucking selfie like a douche. I'm just going to pay my respects if I have the time. August 6th, 5th and 6th, I'm in London, England. August 7th, I'm in Amsterdam. August 8th, I'm in Edinburgh for two shows. August 9th, I'm in Edinburgh for two more shows. The fuck? Doing all right there. August 11th. Now, wait a minute. Yeah. I did say Amsterdam, right? On August 7th. August 11th, I'm in Cologne, Germany. And then August 12th, I'm in Antwerp, Belgium. And then August 27th, I'm in Reno, Nevada. Back in the USA. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. And thank you to everybody overseas who's been buying tickets. I can't wait to come over there and make you laugh. All right, go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you on Thursday.